Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 29th. I'm Abby Larico. A song-filled version of The Tempest by the St. Louis Shakespeare Festival uses music to tell a story of revenge and forgiveness.
People are harsh, and people, out of their woundedness, they reenact those things upon other people. That's what people do. And it's the challenge of a lifetime to overcome that.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin brings us the story of this fresh take on a theater classic. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A $30 million grant from the Federal Aviation Administration will be key to helping consolidate St. Louis-Lambert International Airport's terminals. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, airport leaders and elected officials were at the airport yesterday to celebrate the grant.
The $30 million will be combined with another $20 million grant to build up what's known as the Central Utility Plant. That's where the electricity is produced to power the airfield. It's a step in the process of combining Lambert's terminals into one mega terminal. That project still needs final approval from the airlines, which is expected later this fall. Lambert director Rhonda Homnabrigi says each of the grants cumulatively will make a difference.
I think that's what we have been dedicated to showing the airlines, the work that all the team is doing and all the support that we have behind us, to really make an effort to tag these together to really see a difference at the end of the day.
If approved by the airlines, the terminal consolidation could start construction next year and finish in phases between 2028 and 2032. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The final price tag is expected to exceed the original estimate of roughly $3 billion. The mother of a St. Louis man who died in ICE custody is speaking out after the president of Colombia criticized the U.S.'s immigration policy. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports.
Colombian President Gustavo Petro is calling for a formal diplomatic protest against the United States after Brian Garcon Rayo's death by suicide in a Phelps County jail last year. In a social media post on Wednesday, Petro said the U.S. government should, quote, reflect on how their immigration policy is killing Americans and Latin Americans. Lucy Garzón is Garzón Rayo's mother.
Pues sí, me sorprendí porque la verdad nunca me imaginé que el presidente fuera a comentar una publicación del caso de mi hijo, de casos así.
She says, well, yes, I was surprised because I would have never imagined that the president would comment on my son's case or cases like it. Garzón says she still has questions around the circumstances of her son's death. The Phelps County Sheriff's Office, which operates the jail, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
A man faces fraud charges for allegedly scamming victims in North St. Louis seeking to repair their homes after the May 16th tornado. Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway announced charges yesterday against Jacob Kessner. He's charged with defrauding 16 Missourians through his business, JK Exteriors, cheating victims out of more than $130,000 altogether. Hanaway's office says the majority of people scammed by Kessner were tornado victims. His High Ridge business allegedly promised to replace roofs, scutters, and siding for payment up front. But after receiving the money, JK Exteriors failed to complete some jobs or do any work on others. Kessner faces 23 counts of deceptive business practices. A fund set up by a local nonprofit to help residents recover after last year's tornado reports raising more than $4 million and helping more than 1,300 households. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri has details.
Local nonprofit Invest STL began plotting out what would later be dubbed the Northside Resilience Fund just a week after an EF3 tornado ripped through North St. Louis. The fund aimed to fill the gap for residents impacted by the tornado as they waited for help from FEMA, insurance companies, and other sources. Roughly 5,000 homes and properties were damaged by the storm. Through an application process, residents were vetted and, if approved, given $3,000 gift cards for housing needs, home repairs, transportation, and more. The group released a report on the fund this week, noting the project wasn't perfect, but showed community groups can meet emergency needs if funded and equipped. Invest STL partnered with several community groups and funders on the project. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Illinois legislative session is expected to wrap up this weekend, and lawmakers have a lot of big decisions to make. One of them is the state's proposed budget bill. Lawmakers will have to find a way to close a $149 million gap between Governor J.B. Pritzker's spending wish list and the state revenue to support it. Another major bill would help keep the Chicago Bears in the state of Illinois. The team wants a new stadium in Arlington Heights and a property tax break. Otherwise, they may consider building the stadium across the border in Indiana. And then there's the ongoing fight over the credit card fees that businesses pay on transactions. Illinois passed a law to ban those fees that was supposed to take effect last summer, but it faced legal challenges. Lawmakers are debating a repeal of the law that would stop it in its tracks. The state's constitutional deadline is Sunday, but Illinois lawmakers could extend the session. Democratic Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin returned to the statehouse where his political career began this week to give a farewell address to lawmakers. In a speech to a joint session of the state legislature, Durbin reflected on his time as the longest-serving U.S. senator in Illinois history.
I've had a chance to help so many people. I don't know that I will ever find anything that has such a dramatic impact on individuals and their opportunities and rights.
He says his legacy starts with 3,000 interns who've come through his office, including lawmakers such as State Representative Cam Buckner and Senator Mike Simmons. Durbin was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 1996 after serving in the U.S. House for six terms. He announced his retirement last year. With Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker widely expected to run for president, his choice for lieutenant governor is getting more attention than usual. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports on why Christian Mitchell believes he's ready to take the top job if he's elected and Pritzker leaves state government.
Pritzker selected Christian Mitchell as his running mate last year when current Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton ran for the Senate. Mitchell previously served as Pritzker's deputy governor and as a state lawmaker representing part of Chicago. If Pritzker is successful at running for president or leaves before his term is up for a cabinet position, Mitchell says he'll have a smooth transition to the governorship.
What I'm really focused on is how I can be the best lieutenant governor I can be, help move the state forward, help our farmers, help our small businesses.
Pritzker is seeking a third term this year. He's running against Republicans Darren Bailey and Lieutenant Governor nominee Aaron Del Mar. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can hear more of Mitchell's appearance on Politically Speaking at stlpr.org. June is officially Craft Beer Month in Missouri, and a new app is helping people find their closest craft brewery. The Missouri Craft Brewers Guild has launched the Mo Craft Beer app. The Guild's mission is to advocate for local breweries, especially as the state has seen contraction in the craft beer market in recent years. The app includes an interactive map of local breweries, information about member breweries, and discounts. It's now available for download on the App Store. William Shakespeare's The Tempest is a tale of revenge and redemption. The powerful magician Prospero sets a deadly trap for his enemies by shipwrecking them on a mysterious island. St. Louis Shakespeare Festival's fast-moving production in Forest Park sets the story to the tune of sea shanties and folk songs, performed live on two stages. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the production evokes the magic encountered by its characters with music.
Shakespeare stuffed the play with new words and turns of phrase we take for granted now, like into thin air, foul play. We are such stuff as dreams are made on. Director Rick Dildine notes that Shakespeare also dotted the text with references to something future theater troops would need to provide themselves, music.
Other folks that get stranded, they keep hearing music going, let's follow the music, follow the music.
What harmony is this? My good friends, hark!
Marvelous, sweet music.
The ghostly sounds are the work of the magician Prospero. He seeks revenge on the brother who cheated him of his dukedom and exiled him years before. Prospero uses music to lead his captives around the island.
It's as if Prospero has summoned all of music and shipwrecked it on this island. So when you come in, you're going to see a grand piano has been washed up on shore. There are other little musical instruments that are sprinkled on the shore.
Here's Chauncey Thomas as Caliban, one of the island's few inhabitants. He's explaining the mysterious sounds to some shipwrecked newcomers.
The isle is full of noises, sounds, and sweet airs that give delight and hurt not. Sometimes 1,000 twangling instruments will hum about mine ears.
That's from an early technical rehearsal on stage at Forest Park. But to truly picture it, you need to ask, which stage? There's a second one, placed out in the middle of the audience's picnic baskets and lawn chairs. That's where actors will dramatize something referenced only briefly in the play. The traveling party is sailing home from a wedding in Tunisia. A song-filled pre-show evokes the wedding reception.
Whoa! Nature's music never falls apart. That rhythm is in the beat. In the beat of every heart. Hey!
Shakespeare sometimes includes the lyrics to songs, but says little about what they should sound like. That leaves a lot of creative leeway. This production went with a mix of folksy Americana and what director Dildine calls old sailor songs.
To bring us sugar and tea and rum.
Oh, brave monster, when the lead the way, done,
we'll take our leave and go.
In this tempest, someone strums a guitar out on that second stage, even as the ship breaks apart and goes down. Prospero's enchanted music and other spells give him the power to destroy the people who ruined his life. Nancy Bell plays Prospero.
People are complex, and people are harsh, and people, out of their woundedness and out of their feelings of injustice, they reenact those things upon other people. That's what people do. And it's the challenge of a lifetime to overcome that.
Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done and the winds don't blow. And it's time for us to leave.
The Tempest ultimately is a story about redemption. Prospero realizes that by winning his revenge, he could lose his humanity. And that forgiveness can be the sweetest song of all. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The St. Louis Shakespeare Festival production of The Tempest is now performing at Shakespeare Glen in Forest Park through June 21st. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.